Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Praise God. Let's pray together while we're standing together. Father, we love you, Lord God. We thank you that you are here, that you're not just here, but you're in us. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. And Father, when we find ourselves in our weakest time, Father, we know that you're there. Father, teach us to yield to your strength, to your word, to your anointing. We thank you and love you and have an expectation of thee, Lord God. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You all be seated. I am so thankful to know that I'm nothing. I'm so thankful to know that I'm weak. I'm so thankful to know that, because if you know that you have need, then you can seek after the one that can meet or give the need. The most terrible place for a man or a woman to be is in a place that they think they have no need. You know, our God is so awesome and so dimensional that I know that there's a place that we could stand. I heard a man talking to Brother Pike one time, and he said, "Man, the devil's beating my brains out." You know, and Brother Pike's reply was, "You know, it's nice to be in a place that the devil can't get to you." But then yet the man was making a truthful statement, and maybe he was making that such of a statement because he wasn't at the place that Brother Pike was at. And the only way to understand these things is to possibly live them, to realize, to allow them in your life. I know that when we speak by the mind of Christ, we speak with all authority and all power, all assurance, all surety, all strength, all power, all anointing. No lack, no slack, no weakness, no stumble, no stagger, no sin, no failure. Nothing but strength and victory and power and anointing. I mean, and everything is so awesome. It's a wonderful place to be, to dwell, to walk, and to speak. But then yet, and you say, "No, let's don't go there, Brother Rob. It's a lack of faith if you go there." No, it's not a lack of faith. It's a matter of condescending to men of a less estate to feel their infirmities as the Lord Jesus did and be partakers with them in suffering and to walk with them and even to take their sin upon himself that he could walk among men. And when he's at the cross talking about the creator of all things, the one that has no beginning and no end, and we heard one scream out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Amen. He felt everything of man. You understand that? Maybe you've never felt that God wasn't there. Maybe you've lived in such a place and such a walk with the Lord that you always knew was there. And you say, "I'm standing on the Word." We might be standing on the Word by faith saying, "I know He's never left me or forsaken me." But then there's times you could ever feel so weak or forsaken, maybe even lost. And you say, "Brother Rob, if a man feels like he's lost, he surely must not be born again." You understand? Must not. But when I hear the Son of Man cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I can tell you what he felt, what lost was right there. The things that he was feeling had to be so hideous, so terrible, so more uncomprehendable than anything that you've ever partaken or thought about or touched. He felt our infirmities, brothers and sisters. Now the thing is how do we live? How do we walk? How do we talk? How do we express? Well, we want to be as the Apostle Paul spoke. We want to speak by the Spirit of God. We want to speak unto you as unto spirituals. And we want to speak in such a way. You want to walk in such a way of those things, to partake of those things. I want to read a scripture to you over in the Proverbs, the 11th chapter. One that we oftentimes read, the latter part of this verse. "If I would say unto you, ye that win souls are wise," you would understand that. But something at the very first part of that says, "The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life." The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. You know, and when we think of the tree of life, if I was going to ask a question tonight or pose a question to each and every one of you, I say, who is the tree of life? And we'd say the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And, you know, we see here it says, well, it says here, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. Well, how many of you are a tree of life? And what makes you the tree of life? Could I go on here and say in the scriptures that possibly in this particular scripture that we're looking at here is that the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life? And if you are the tree of life, you say, well, I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Then could you be the tree of life, or could you be bone and bone and flesh of the tree of life without the fruit of righteousness? I like the Word of God. Amen. I like to be challenged by the Scriptures and by the Word of God and to think about it. Let's read just a little bit more here in Proverbs for a moment, and we're going to go over to another place in the Scriptures. If I could get one word to you, just one word to you that is quickened to you, I know it could help you and change your life. One word. Just one word, if it's quickened by the Spirit of God. I may speak many words, but I am asking God to let one word be quickened unto each and every one of you. It might be a different word for each and every one of you, but if I could say something to bring a thought, a revelation, a mind, a strength, and a power, amen, then I could say that we've accomplished something here this evening. Let's go to verse 27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. I find when I read the scriptures, I find that the rewards of judgment or righteousness are always because of an action on our part. Do you realize that? But he said the Bible says that Jesus reaped where he sowed not. You see, and you take those scriptures and you want to reap where you sow not, and you look at it in such a perspective, but he was talking about he reaped your sin and death that he sowed not. And he reaped it for you and I. So oftentimes we have to realize that in the scriptures and the word of God, that you're not going to be reaping things in such a way lest you've sowed them. I could take you some New Testament scriptures. Now I know that you can come to a place of faith in God, and that you could set yourself into a place of reaping judgment of others and be partakers of them. Let me tell you how that works, for it won't be a mystery to you. You know, for instance, a woman could enter into the husband's judgment, or a man could enter into the judgment upon the woman. Do you realize that? By loving them and being with them. You know, I as a pastor many times, I could say, you know, brother, you've sown this. You get out there in the weed patch and you pull the tares out yourself. And I could say, look at my arms. They're scarred and bloody from being out there with you, pulling out these tares and pulling out these weeds, trying to get where you could produce some fruit. But there's going to be a time when I see real lack of concern or wisdom on your part. I say, well, I've labored long enough. It's time for you to go ahead and just reap the rewards of your own self. Zach came to me before service this evening about a prayer request of a woman. Woman's been in this church. And says, you know, pray for this individual. You know, they're losing their home. The day of adversity, maybe one needs to consider their ways. I would be rejoiced in the Lord to get a report that a woman's losing her home. I could rejoice and have a Pentecostal party up here saying, my God is on the throne, he's alive, he's well, and he's a righteous God and a good God. Praise be to God, this sister's losing her home, going to be thrown out into the street. It's winter time. Glory be to God, this woman is going to lose her home. And people would think, well, what's wrong with you, Brother Rob? I wouldn't be rejoicing about her losing her soul. There wouldn't be one iota of rejoicing in me to get a report of somebody that's wronged me, or wronged my family, or hurt me, or hurt my family, or hurt brothers and sisters. I would never in my want to rejoice about their soul thinking that they're lost. I would pray, God, have mercy on them. Help them. When he says in the scriptures on that day of calamity, he talks about that he will laugh. You know, and we think, well, I'm not sure if I understand all those things. But this individual woman is, when these reports are coming, that she's sleeping with two men. You don't pray. Well, pray that she could pay her rent. Pray that she could get her lights on. Pray for this. I say no. Do I want to get in the way of the judgments? Do I want to get away in the chastening? That maybe she could repent. Maybe if she ends up in the streets, she could repent of her wickedness. Maybe she could find, because things aren't working out, she'd say, Mike, you know, I've got to turn back to God. We find a prodigal that found himself in the pig pen, so to speak. And he finds himself there desiring to eat of the husk. And he looked around and he said, you know what? Even the servants that are in my father's house, even the servants are doing much better than this. And he said, you know, I'm not relative to this. I remember when my son, a few years back, got put in jail down here not too far away. He says he'd done 30 days in there. I didn't remember being that long. But regardless, if it was 3 days or 30 or 3 years, I wrote him a letter. I said, son, I want you to sit and take a close look in there. I want you to look, not telling that you're better than them, but you know, he should have saw something that he wasn't relative to. You understand that? If you're a son of God, you know, you think, well, he was relative to incarcerations and imprisonments, not for foolishness and ignorance. You understand that? But you're not relative to this. Look around and see. Not relative to those things. I look into this world and I find people that desire the things of this world. They desire the frolics of this world. They desire the music of this world. They desire the pleasures of this world, the theme parks of this world, the recreational places of this world. But you know, when you come to a place in God, you're going to feel that you're not relative. That you're going to feel odd. You're going to feel like, I can't even enjoy this. And I know the Bible talks about there's pleasure in sin for a season. But you should come to a place with God that you find no pleasure in it whatsoever at all. So as I speak about an individual that's, you know, I get a report that they're going to be evicted and put out of their home, I say, God's on the throne. I sometimes get very concerned when I see people that are not having the chastening of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Because he chastens them that he loves. Is that what the message is about tonight, Brother Rob? Is the chastening of the Lord? Is this what it's all about? Is that what the context of this would be? Brethren, as again we say in verse 30, it says the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. But let me say something to you about that. Is the fruit of righteousness a tree of life? So oftentimes we want to number ourselves as with the tree of life. And we have so many ways of vindicating that we're part of this tree of life. Many times we do it by the expression of the scriptures, by the quotes of the word of God. Well, I'm born of God. I've said this prayer. I've asked Jesus. I've got faith. But you know, if we have faith, there's got to be some sort of a vindication or some sort of a fruit, some sort of a evidence. When I read the main scripture that people would go to about faith, it speaks of an evidence. So if I'm thinking or comparing or examining faith, there's going to be an evidence, brothers and sisters. And I say if there's an evidence of the fruit of life or the fruit of righteousness, a tree of life, you know, is there something different about the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And then yet I could proclaim or I could say profess that I'm the tree of life. And one with the tree of life. But then yet I could find this tree of knowledge of good and evil laying within the members of my first birth. You know, and the thing is when we think we take the scriptures about taking the axe and laying it to the root. You know, and we start considering these things. We rend veils. We make separations. We rend separations and veils of the mind that's in the veil of death and carnality and darkness. And then we talk about the mind of Christ. And so oftentimes, again, we think the mind of Christ is some intellectual retention of the Word of God. And we got the right things to say at the right times, the right scriptures to rehearse at the right times. I believe in study of the scriptures and the Word. I believe in even memorization for children. And the reason I like that is because they could have something there to help them fight and combat the mind of darkness or the mind of the enemy or the mind of the devil. That they got scriptures being known that it was God-breathed and of the Word of God. But the quotes of the Word of God are not this tree of life. It's not the true expression of the life that comes forth from the tree. And if we say a tree of life, we're going to have to say there's a fruit on this particular tree to receive life from. You understand that? If a tree doesn't have something to sustain life or to give life, then it couldn't be considered a tree of life. Now could it? Let's go to John. I'm going to go down to chapter 5 for a moment. I'm going to go down to about 19. We can go up to the first part. And we know that there was a man that laid for 38 years there, waiting for the waters to be stirred. But every time they would stir, he wanted somebody to come and put him in the waters so that he could receive healing. But he said every time the waters would stir, somebody would step over him or go around him and get into the waters. The individual for 38 years was seeking after that. The Lord Jesus came on the Sabbath day and spoke to him, told him to rise up and walk or take up his bed or his mat and to walk. You can go back and read it, but the Jews didn't like it. There's something he said, you know, it's not permissible for you to take up your mat, you know, do this action of works on the Sabbath day, this and that. And then they sought to kill the Lord Jesus. And then he went on to answer. Verse 18 says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And I wonder why people want to kill me. Amen. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, when we try to speak by the mind of Christ or by the tree of life or by the righteousness of Christ, and people will crucify you and kill you and want to put you to death this very day. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I could really do some expounding right there on verse 19, but let's read on there just a little bit. And the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now, I'm going to back up for a moment. I'm going to take a little bit of time here. I could preach. I think y'all know that I could preach. I like to preach. I also like to try to take time to examine some things here. And I'm going to go back to verse 19 now. Lord prompted me back. Guess I went on too quick. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but he seeth the Father do. For what the things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, he's using the scripture there to somewhat contest or confront these Jews that were wanting to kill him. And he's saying, hey, you know, you're wanting to kill me because, you know, I didn't do this in my own. It was the Father that done it, is what he was basically saying there, isn't it? Now, the thing is we could go into some Trinitarian doctrine for a moment or thought as a Trinitarian, and they could say, look, right here, I could prove to you and I could show you that there is a difference between the Son and the Father. And there most definitely is. I don't contest that. Sometimes I don't claim to be a Trinitarian. I don't claim to be a oneness, brethren. I don't like that expression of either one. Because there's sometimes the one man that could call himself a oneness, he could say, I ain't listening to anything no Trinitarian is going to say because they're just slap lost and they're on their way to hell, and vice versa, they'll say the same. And they both have some understandings and some truths. They both have some errors. But here I could see how a Trinitarian could take right here and he could say, well, look here. I could see the difference there. The difference that they do where we say we would differentiate to understand these two different dimensional expressions of God, where they're going to bring it down to two persons, and they'd use such as this to justify probably a two-person Godhead. It's like Brother Pike made a statement one time. He said, we've got a lot more Bible for two-person, more so than three, where the Bible says twain. He said more. He may not have used the expression person there. Let me correct that. If I go to quote an accurate man of God, I don't want to paraphrase something that could make change the whole statement. And there's a lot of that happens and goes on. Nor do I want to do that with the Word of God. And we all stumble around in the Scriptures, and we all paraphrase the Scriptures, and we're all hoping that there is an anointing of the Spirit of God with the unction to go forth and help us in the expressions and things of the Word of God. It takes discernment of the Spirit is what it takes. I'm going to read verse 19 one more time. It says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself." Now I could take and make a value, somewhat of a argument, and say, well, if He can do nothing of Himself, and you say that Jesus is God, and He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, He was there before the world ever was. He spoke all things into an existence. There is no other God beside Him, but then yet you're going to sit here and tell me that He could do nothing in Himself. I say, yes. Maybe this could help you to understand a dimensional perspective. You know, if I stepped out of that realm of thought for one moment, and I talked about life, the expression of life in you, talking about the expression of temporal life in you, maybe I could say. Because if temporal life departs your body, that body's dead. And it has no strength and no power. And this is why we cannot separate the Son of God and God apart. Because they're one. The Bible says that the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost said, these three are one. Now the thing is they really can't be separated. But they could be differentiated. We could look at them to see a dimensional perspective of these. Now I could take my spirit out of my body and the body's dead. We put them apart. But when we put it apart, one's dead. You understand that? One no longer lives. We no longer know the Lord Jesus Christ after the flesh. We no longer know Him in the image that He walked among men in. We don't worship the image that He walked among men in, do we? So how do we know Him? See, we're commanded to know Him by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, and to pray in the Spirit. The Catholics have never come to a spiritual revelation of God, so they got the body, the object of worship, and they keep a crucified Christ on the cross. They go into their big churches and their cathedrals around the world, and you'll find that they've got statues of the Lord Jesus Christ laying there, stripped off with a little loincloth on. That's their God. You understand that? But they never come to know Him by the Spirit or by the revelation, the revealing of Christ. So when we look at this, you know, one could say, well, I could see that the Father's greater than the Son. We got scriptures and things. But you understand that the Father had no expression of life to humanity until He came and dwelled in the fullness in the Son. And then when He came and dwelled in the fullness in the Son, then we had an expression of life, a comprehension of life, the revelation of life, the revealing of life, the unveiled God coming in the veil that we could see and understand the expression. This is the whole purpose of Jesus walking among men. Do you understand that? Walking among humanity is to bring the expression of life to a way that they could see that there was a hope of something more than what temporal life had to offer them. Read 19 one more time. It says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." You see, there's a complete yielding to the spirit mind, the spirit world right there, to the things of revelation, to the things of God. Now let's bring us into a thing. How many of us here claim to be a son of God? Now we see here we're talking about the Son of God. We say, well, the Son of God is God. And I say, yea and amen. Jesus expressed that continually. They wanted to take up stones and kill Him. They said a mere man making himself to be God. They wanted to kill Him for making these expressions. I was there before Abraham. I have no beginning, I have no end. I and the Father are one. You see, these are statements that they looked at blasphemous. That you cannot say that. He said, your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk. You can't forgive sins. And they continually found fault with Him. My intentions here tonight weren't to go into or making some sort of a dispute between these three-person God people and these one-person God people, so to speak. But you know, these are things that has got people separated one from another. Good people separated one from another. A great man of God, Brother Branham, expressed as he spoke to a Trinitarian man. He said, "Could anybody deny that this brother is not filled with the Holy Ghost?" He said, "I've witnessed and I've saw and I know," he said, "that this man is a born again man full of the Holy Ghost." He said, "Nobody could doubt that here." And then he would talk about another man who numbered himself with the oneness congregation, so to speak, or tribe, however you want to express it. And he said, "You can't deny this man here." He made it very clear what his doctrine was. But do you realize that there's people, because they're going to stay over in one camp or in another camp, that they will reject some truths that the other camp is teaching? Just because they want everybody to know that they're contrary to that. I've got people that I cannot reach, that I cannot speak to, that won't even hear anything I said, and it could be so clear of that it's "thus saith the Lord," but they afraid that if they heard anything I say, that they're going to get Godspeed to what I do, because they're in another mind, another world, and they would never listen, and they would never hear. This is why we could go back to the scriptures and probably, "Ye that win souls are wise." And so oftentimes we get into the controversial subjects and things right off the bat. And most of the time when we do this right off of a meeting with somebody, it's because we're looking for superiority. Or we want to be recognized as superior to them in thought and in mind and revelation and spirit. But Jesus didn't come that way, did he? Now think about how he approached and how he came. We got to consider this, brethren. Well, I want to be a soul winner. I'm preaching these things because I've failed these things. And sometimes when you fail things, as if you were to go back to the very beginning of this service, I said, "I am so thankful to know that I'm weak. I'm so thankful to know that I lack understanding. I'm so thankful to know that, because I could draw from real understanding when I come to realize that," when the Bible said, "You think that you know, but you don't know what you ought to know." See, when you think you know, you don't know what you ought to know. But if you can get the part out of the way that "I don't think I know anything," then he can make you know all things. As Brother Pike said, the beginning of understanding is come to an understanding that you have no understanding. Now you're at the threshold of what real understanding is. But when you got this understanding in your way, then you cannot receive anymore. All of you people have trained people on jobs before. It is very difficult to get a man on a job and teach him something when he already knows. But then yet you look at what he knows and he's messing everything up. And you think, "I can help you." But you can't help him because he already knows. But if he would come to the understanding that he doesn't know, then he could receive the understanding from you that do know. And then he could come to fulfill or to complete. This is all speaking outside the realms of spiritual things now. It's hard to teach somebody something when they're convincing you that they're better than you. Do you realize that? I use my father in so many cases. You've heard me use him as negative examples. And boy, there's plenty of them. Plenty of failures in his life. I've watched him weep and bawl and cry because of his failures through life. I've heard him testify of the successes in his life. No different than any man. One thing I can say, when you live to be 86 years old, you've got some wisdom that's maybe some of us young people, maybe, and even the younger ones, that ain't had a chance yet. I found some wisdom after pastoring a church for 17 years that I didn't have before I started. It would have been nice if there was one of them thumb drives or CD-ROMs or even a floppy disk. I don't care what you got. But if they could have just stuck it in a slot in your hand and said, "Here's what you need right here." Boy, wouldn't that have been nice? But I learned obedience by the things that I suffered. I know you didn't have to, but I'm just talking about me now. You know, if we truly look through life and observe, many of the things that we have learned is because of failure. Boy, I got on a bicycle, you know, and I just rode it perfectly, man. Didn't wobble or nothing. And went, didn't even have training wheels on. I got on that bike and just went straight on down the road. And boy, my mom and dad sit there and clap. Well, you know that's a lie. I probably still got scars on my knees, huh? Isn't it something how a child has to learn those things? But he's trying. He's making an effort. He wants to learn. There's something in him. In Christianity, yes, we're going to do things in our walk with God or in our progression towards the eternal light, we may say. And there's going to be things. We've got an enemy, an adversary that's seeking to destroy us. If you don't have an adversary seeking and on your heels to destroy you and kill you, then you're no threat to him. You realize that? If he's not on your heels pursuing after you, so to speak, then you're doing nothing for God. But when you're doing something for God, then you become a threat to his kingdom. And he's going to be fighting you. And you could yield to him. You could surrender to him. Once you yield, then there's no fight. Once I yield to carnality and the ways of this world, there's no fight. There's no travail. If I would just yield to the religious ideology or the religious mindset of this world, there's no fight. You know, I try to do a little ministering on this Facebook. I haven't done a lot in the last few weeks. It's become a stench in the nostrils. There's some wonderful things on there, wonderful prayer requests, wonderful people on there. Don't misunderstand me. But the theology, their revelations and their things, it's a stench, some of it. Because there's people strengthening errors and wrongs in people. It's very difficult to do anything in there. It truly is. Very difficult. But you see, we're trying to bring something for somebody to grab a hold of. Something that might be just a little different. That they could really find the true expression of life. Find out what this is. When I read that scripture in Proverbs there about the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. But then yet, we've again changed what righteousness is. And we could say, well, your very best righteousness, we understand it's filthy rags. Is that the tree of life? No. There's a different righteousness. There's a righteousness that the ones that were right here, that were coming against the Lord Jesus Christ, they were presenting a different righteousness. It was a righteousness through the law that they were presenting to him. And they were looking face to face and eye to eye with what righteousness is. And they were wanting to destroy it. Let's read on here just a little bit. Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Think about this. We're too fast to go through the scriptures when we read. Sometimes people say, man, I read the complete chapter of 5 of Matthew, or I read this, and I read this book, and I read that. And I know people that have read the Bible from cover to cover, but they never ate it. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now let's talk about that for a minute. The first man, Adam, being a living soul, the second man, Adam, being a quickening spirit. So if I ask you, are you of the first man Adam or are you of the second man Adam? Well, you say, well, I'm born again. Well, I say, then you're of the second man. Okay, when you had breath going in and out your lungs and walking with this air in your nostrils, we may say, then you understand what it is part of being the first one. So we have to make ourselves twain. We have to make ourselves both Lord and Christ. We have to both make ourselves son of man, son of God. We have to do this. But when we read these scriptures, so oftentimes when we think about this raiseth up from the dead, you're going to go and you're going to talk about them that are in the ground and the grave. And you're going to look to these that are in the ground and that have rotted. And you know that one day that the Spirit of God is going to quicken that. Just like we go over and we find that this bones that were down in there. And that they spoke and they started rattling. The chenoo came on the bones and flesh started coming up. You had an army of the Lord standing there. And this is what we think about when we read scriptures as such. And you're not wrong. This is the correct way of thinking, but there's more so to it. There's more so when we talk about the God that was. We talk about the one that is and the one that is to come. And they're all one and the same God, just as we were differentiating right here before, speaking about the differentiation between the Father and the Son. For as the Father raised up the dead. So what is the dead? Are the dead the people that are out there that are in the dirt in these cemeteries? Is that the dead? I hope not. Because some of them that are laying out there that fleshly carcass is rotted away and stuff, some of those were what we could say were fathers of the gospel. Then were some of those were people that endured all the way to the end. Some of those were people that had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that walked and were led by the Spirit of God. They had a testimony all the way to the end. They loved the Lord and praised God. And you say, is that the dead? Do you realize that if they weren't quickened while they yet what you call lived, that they would be dead out there? Do you realize that? There's no purgatory, my Catholic friends. There is no place that Uncle Festus could come pay money and get some priest to say some kind of prayer and get you out of some purgatory that you can enter into life. I'm telling you something. It said, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." We go into a lot of scripture here. I could take you into other passages and other places in the Bible. You know you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. Why do you love the brethren? Because they're the sons of God. If you don't love the brethren, you don't love God. If you don't love the brethren that you do see, you can't love the Father in which you do not see. You understand that? I'm going to the Word of God and the Scriptures. We're talking about the quickening here. For as the Father, verse 21 again, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead." Now there's many Scriptures when we start talking about dead now. "The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those which are alive and remain will be caught up together." Well, what is the difference here? What's going on here? What is the dead in Christ? I thought there was no death in Christ. I thought everything in Christ was live and living. I say, yea and amen. He's the Spirit of life. There's no life outside of him. There's a things that we would say are temporal life. Is there an expression, the difference between temporal life and eternal life? Well, sure there is. Is there an expressional difference between mortal life and spirit life? Yes, there is. Is there an expression of a difference between mortal flesh and spirit flesh? Yes, there is. Is there a difference between the mortal mind and the spiritual mind? Yes, there is. So here we go. We're differentiating again, tearing apart, so to speak, or analyzing that we can understand. And when we read these scriptures, we think, well, it's talking about the ones out there in the dust, in the dark, that have faded away or whatever. And that one day this quickening spirit's going to move down through that dirt. And they're going to rise up and they're going to get that body like we expressed in Ezekiel. The shenoo come back on and all these things. And you got the army of the Lord standing there. I say, amen, you got a revelation. But is that it? You see, there's some that are twice dead, the Bible says, and plucked up by the roots. But then yet, they walk among you. They walk this earth. You know, I don't watch these programs and these different things, but they say there's a big move of this zombie move or whatever going on right now. About zombies here and zombies there and everything. The Lord's suffering that. Just for the revelation of it. He suffers people to get all their tattoos so they can show the mark of the beast. He's suffering all these movies and these things about zombies for you could know that you're walking among people that are really dead. They don't have no life. I mean, there's preachers with their three-piece suit and their big synagogues and big churches that are zombies. They're living dead, you may say. I know that sounds like an insult. What do you think? You're better than them? No, I'm the least of all. Amen. But I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Him. And if I'm one with Him. You see, Jesus was pointing everything to the Spirit. I do what the Father does. I do what the Spirit does. You know, people say, you can't judge me. I'm not judging you. It's the Spirit that's judging you. And if you're not in the Spirit, you have no business making any judgments. The Bible said, ye that are spiritual judgeth all things, not ye that are carnal. When you judge things out of an intellectual retention of the Bible, and when you judge things that way, it's not the Spirit. Because the Spirit that judgeth, brothers and sisters, knows the Word. And the Word has times to put out, and the Word has times to bring in. Amen? See, we got to get in the Word. And we got to get more than in the Word. The Word's got to get in us. And we've got to become so intertwined with the Word. So much with the Word. Not speaking again of the quotes of the Bible. The retention of the Word. As I said, a man that doesn't know the Scriptures. You can have a man that's full of the Holy Ghost. What is being full of the Holy Ghost? He's full of life. Eternal life. Abundant life. Amen. And he doesn't know nothing. Zero. He just knew that there was something drawing him, something pulling on him. All he knew in his intellectual mind was how to get more drugs or more drink or more smoke or more snort or more dope or more women or a woman with more men. That's what they know. They're carnal. They're death. The carnal mind is death. That's all they know. But there was something pulling, something dragging, something tugging. And there's something he come and pulled, and all of a sudden he got set free and delivered. He got something happened. Something went into him. Some life went into him. And all of a sudden that man is as eternal as any great man of God that ever walked. You understand that? That's life now. I'm not talking about the reward. I'm not talking about the things that are stored up in heavenly places for him. I had a preacher that come here staying with me and was visiting. We were fellowshipping, trying to fellowship in the Word and stuff. And I was going to allow him to minister this one night. And we got to fellowshipping in the Word. And he goes, I'm going to preach tonight, Brother Rob. Praise God. I'm the 11th hour worker. And I said, well, that's fine, brother. But I know what kind of reception he's going to get from people that have been indoctrinated in what the 11th hour worker is. With a revelation of it. He's going to look at him and say, what's wrong with you people? So I said, well, that's fine, brother. But let me tell you. They believe it different than you do. What do you mean they believe it different than I do? I knew what he believed like. I knew what he had been taught at. I knew the circles that he ran in. You understand? I could go talk with a Trinitarian, or I can go talk with a Oneness. I can go talk with a Calvinist. I can go talk with an Arminian. And I know what they're thinking and how they're thinking because I know the mind that projected the thoughts. But you come into that mind. Now, I shared something with you the other day. The thing is, if Brother Ed was a pilot and he picked up the microphone and he says,
better have
your version. Yeah, amen. But if he said, in the microphone, he said, Charlotte Approach, this is 2915 Whiskey Golf. I'm 37 miles out. I would like some clearance for coming in for a full stop landing. You see, you think, well, I think I understand what he said. He wants to come in for a landing. But then yet, he has got an understanding because he has a mind of a pilot when he comes in and tells him to squawk a frequency. You might not know what that means. Might tell him to fly such and such vector. You don't know what that means. He might tell him to go into a certain kind of a pattern. He might tell him to fly to a certain outer marker. And you, what does that mean? But this man's in the mind of a pilot and he knows what it means. Now the thing is that there's minds that people are in outside of aviation. There's minds that people are in outside of the mind of Christ, but it's a very religious mind. And they've got this religious indoctrination, and they all talking about the same thing, and they all been taught by the same people, by the same Antichrist, we could even go to say. And they feel unity. They pull together in their bundles because they feel a sense of unity. And I'm assured. Do you know that when you're dealing with a drunk or a dope addict or a whore or a whoremonger, you'll find that they bundle together because they want the insurety of the unity. They want somebody to think, well, I'm not the only one like this. That's why people attract one to another like that. Two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. And when I see people that are walking with people that are outside the mind of Christ, it's a revelation, it's a revealing, it's an understanding. How could they have the mind of Christ? How could they possibly have this mind when they're out there walking in those things? You know, we think of the do's and the don'ts. Well, come out of this, don't be part of this, and stay away from that. You see, when you're in the mind of Christ, you don't need that. Because you say, this ain't me. I don't fit there. I don't have any desire to sit and listen to a bunch of drunks talk. I've been there before. I know what the conversation's about. I don't need to go back in the slop hole to hear that stuff. I don't need to hear the lying one to another. I don't need to hear the pride of life. I don't need to hear them expressing for dominion one over another. One being smarter than another. One being stronger than another. One being whatever. I don't need that. I've been there. I've been with the religious crowds that I'm more spiritual than you. I got a better understanding than you. I got more revelation. I got more understanding. I got a degree in theology. I went to college for 4 years. I don't need that. I'm not against that. I'm not against that, brothers and sisters. Not at all. But I've seen too many of them that have that or that are lost. I find too many that have that are confused. that are stumbling and staggering and falling and wasting away. So there's got to be something greater than that, something more than that. You see, sometimes I use expressions that you're going to tell somebody that the Chevrolet is the best truck to buy, and the only reason you're saying that is because your daddy told you that all your life. You love your daddy, got confidence in daddy, so you're going to buy a Chevrolet, and you're never going to know for yourself. That's the way it is. I'm sorry. I was there. Wasn't I, brother? Where's he at? Wasn't I, brother Randy? Randy converted me, man. I come here to convert him. He converted me. I started driving Chevrolet trucks, man. All my life, them things was cursed. I was almost ashamed to see my daddy. What you driving there, son? Oh, it's a loaner, Dad. I'm going to borrow for a couple years and go get a real truck. And we can laugh about these things, brother, but there's a mind there. There's a mind there. But then after a while, after you do these certain things and find out, then you make a real decision. You're an apostolic because mama was an apostolic and granddad was. Or you're a Pentecostal holiness because, you know, grandma was or uncle was. And you got confidence. You've seen the manifestation of the love of God in their life. You've seen sacrificial efforts in them. So you know they had to be right. You're a Baptist because... I don't know why you're Baptist. I mean, no. I was having troubles getting into that one. I tried to analyze minds. And I'll tell you what, there's some wonderful Baptist people. I know I kind of get lighthearted sometimes. Wonderful people that love the Lord. I'm standing here tonight ministering the Word of God to the best of my ability. And I could say with the gratitude of a Baptist preacher that come to my home knocking on my door, and I'd slide the marijuana underneath the couch and put the beer back in the refrigerator. And he come to talk to me about the Jesus and about the love of God. And he was real. He was sincere. He was a very sincere, real man. Later on, as I got into the Pentecostal message, I converted him to Pentecostal. I owed it to him. And now he's still lost. No. So I thought, well, I took him from the Baptist to Pentecostal. Now I want to take him from a Pentecostal to the Revelation. Amen. Never could do it. Maybe I gave up too soon. He drove from the state of California all the way to Georgia to get me out of a cult. That's how much he loved me. He was a sincere, real man. He just needed to come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's people that we could talk to about the revelation and get into some real doctrine with them, but they already know. And you can't help somebody that already knows. You can't teach somebody that already knows. That's what we started talking about. Are you so sure? Are you so positive? You know, you use expressions, I know that I know. And I've heard those things. Well, I know that I know that I know, brother. And I say, I wish you did. I'm not going to tear down your faith here. I'm not going to tear down your profession of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to tear down your confidence in Him. And if you really believe in your heart that you have the Spirit of truth, it will lead you into all truth. And you will listen for the truth, and the truth will set you free. But when you reject the truth, and when you bow up against the truth, when I find anger and animosity, when you're being challenged in your spirit, and you revile back with anger, and you revile back with pride, then I'm saying they don't have the truth. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, the truth doesn't do that. They made allegations against the Lord Jesus. And he answered very carefully because he knew who he was. And when you don't answer properly, it's for one reason only. You don't know who you are, and you were challenged. And when you're challenged and you don't know who you are, this is when you find animosities. This is when you find things rising up that aren't godly in you. But God's the one that allowed them to come. God is the one that sent them your direction. Let's read on here just a little bit. I'm at verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Have you been quickened by the Son? You see, you have a spirit of a man that lives within the members of this fleshly thing. The spirit of the man is a life. It's a temporal life that keeps this temporal tabernacle walking, talking. You remove that spirit out of this thing, that thing collapses and dies. But there's going to be something here. We got to understand what this quickening is that he's speaking about. It's a life. It's an eternal spirit of life. And when it talks about a quickening, we got to talk about the quickening that you're talking about that's going to come. And you can talk about the transfiguration of the body when this mortal flesh is changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And you say, Brother Rob, that's the quickening right there. That's the transfiguration of this flesh. That's the change of this body. That's the quickening. I say, yea and amen, but is that where you're going to stop at? Or is that where we're going to conclude and that's all there is? You see, the same mind talks about a rapture. And I say, oh, Brother Rob, I believe in the rapture. I believe that one day, and they'll start talking about, you know, about this change. Talking about this rapture, we're all caught up in the air. They got Bible for it. But then yet I say, yay and amen, but is that where you're going to stop at? Or how do you get there? I always continually teach and preach, and I talk about the God that was. Now we can go back over here and we can talk about the God that was that walked among men. And we can talk about him being right here. They wanted to take up and put him to death. They wanted to kill him. They violated their law, but he brought another law in. He brought a true, genuine law, a law of the spirit, of life, of the quickening. They were bringing another law, the letter of the law, and they were trying to put him to death with. We can find him. We can talk about the God that was. Then we go over and talk about the one that's coming, you say, the one to come. Talk about the change, the rapture. We could talk about the catching up in the air and all this and say, praise God. But I need one today. I need a God that's now. I need a God that's alive now. If you got cancer in your body and it's about to take your life and kill you, you don't need to talk about the one that's going to change his body over in some futuristic time. You need a God that's today, a God that's now, that'll quicken you, that'll change that corruptible mortal flesh right now. Those cancer cells that are destroying and eating you alive, they'll take and change them right now while you still get got breath in your life, and them things will change, and all of a sudden the doctors look and say, God, new life there. There's new flesh there. There's something there that's got life. Amen. We're talking about quickening that mortal flesh right now and changing and bringing life. Amen. That's life. That's the God today. That's the God that is the I am. It's the God of now. We don't need to talk about that when the Bible said a deferred hope sickened at the heart. Oh, someday God's going to heal you. He's already done it. It's not someday. It's done. It's finished. It's completed. He said, it's finished. That's what he said. It's finished. What's finished? Death was abolished. This is why I have no fear of death. Zero fear of death. Because death is abolished. Death is over. Of air going in and out these lungs is an expression of temporal life. It's not the expression of spirit life. You understand that? So we start understanding the quickening. The quickening of them. Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Let's go on for a moment. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. I'm a son of God. I'm spiritual, you know that? Paul said, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals. Well, the only way he could speak to you is unto a spiritual is because he was spiritual. Is that right? Well, you can go on into scriptures and find out he had testifies himself as testimony and true. I'm not talking about me. I'm carnal. Shaping in iniquity, sold into sin. You understand that? So which part is quickened? It's no longer the minister speaking, but Christ speaking. Now can Christ speak and say I'm spiritual? Can he say he's eternal? Can he say he is the quickening? Can he say that he is the resurrection? Okay, so then, see, this is what we have to do. We have to be able to do this and understand this and see this. Amen. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. You know, you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. They're the sons of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. But I know the word. Let me share the word with you. This is what it says, brother, over in Proverbs. This is what it says in Matthew. This is what it says in Malachi. Okay, you know the word. But what does it say here? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Read it again. I'm going to go back to verse 23 and we'll go right on down to 25. But it says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent him. Now you could take this to the God that was and talk about Lord Jesus and talk about the Spirit of the Holy Spirit that dwelled within him in the fullness. But you've missed the revelation of the present day truth. Brother Pike was a man of God that came to bring you into revelation. Revelation, the present day truth, he said. And the present day truth was that Christ was alive, that the Ark of the Covenant had been found. You understand that? While they're running around looking for this thing, he said, I know where it's at. I know where it's at. It's been here all the time. He said he was talking about himself, brother. He was talking about a revelation about the one that lived in him. He was talking about the eternal one, the quickening spirit that dwelled in him. And when Jesus Christ walked among men and he expressed that life and that authority and said, take up thy bed and walk. Tell them that your sins are forgiven. They wanted to stone him. But you see, when you bring the revelation, the revealing of the sons of God today into the thing, you can't say that. I know who you are. I know who your dad is. I know who your wife is. I know where you're all about. And they absolutely reject the quickening spirit of life. And they deny the power of God. And they have not passed from death unto life because of that. I like this. You say, who are you talking about, Brother Rob? I'm talking about you, the sons of God. I'm talking about for you to know who you are and what authority you have that you could speak things into an existence. What do you mean speak things into an existence? You can create worlds. Come on now. You say, but look at God. Look at the Lord Jesus. He spoke this earth right here into an existence. And this earth came here and he said, you know, to separate the night and the day. And he started speaking all these things. I say, well, praise God. But let me tell you what he also said, that this is temporal. It passeth away. And the heavens passeth away. That's what he said in his word. And you're talking about what he's doing. But see, I can create something that's eternal by the spoken word and speaking it. Do you realize that? So this one that was spoken into an existence has natural blood running through its veins. And it's got a blood seed that flows through this body that leaves and goes into the woman. And you got the beautiful expression of life come. And I say, that's all temporal. Oh, but Bible said that it's wonderfully made. I say, yay and amen, it's wonderfully made. But what about speaking eternal life into something that can't die? Something that's eternal, something that's forever, amen? Jesus said, greater things can you do than even what I've done. You say, well, how could that be? Because he made the way when he abolished death. Amen? Oh, the word's rich. Just let one of them be quickened to you. One little fragment of this thing be quickened to you to change your whole life. Change your whole outlook. And you'll know what it means to pass from death unto life and fall in love with people. Amen? It's wonderful to fall in love with people. But how can you love somebody when you want to kill them and destroy them and hurt them? How could you want gains by somebody else's losses? Jesus didn't do that. He came and gave us all that you could have. And when you get to a revelation that you want to give all you have for them, then God will give you all he's got. But until you come to that, you'll never have it. I'm going to read verse 24 one more time. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. The question is hearing the word. Does everybody that hears the vibration that goes forth on a mic and comes out as a vibration into a congregation, are they all hearing the word? When Jesus had them sitting in front of him and he said, though you have eyes, you do not see, nor ears, you do not hear. Did they hear or did they see? Evidently they couldn't have because it was the spirit of truth standing before them. And he said, though you don't have eyes. So we know the truth was being expressed there. He's the spirit of truth. Amen. That's why he can't lie, because he's the spirit of truth. The truth can't lie. You understand that? Praise God. I'm going to read from 24 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you in verse 25, the hour is coming, and now is. Now, I want you to see right there, there was a differentiation right there in one breath. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. Well, which one is it, Lord? Is it coming or is it now? Which one are you listening to? Are you listening to the one that's coming, or are you going to listen to the one that's now? See, to some it's the coming of the Lord, and to some they are the Lord. You understand the difference? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Okay, let me ask you something now. When you were born into this world, and a doctor slammed you on the backside, and you took a breath and snorted and squealed, made noise. I could talk about Brother Manny's little baby girl back here. I could speak about the beauty of life. I could talk about the beauty of that. Yes, it is. Brethren, it is absolutely beautiful when a little baby's born. I'm a father. You know, I'm a grandparent. I understand the beauty of this temporal life. But then yet, if I could take you and stand you up and run that whole child's life from the day of its first breath to the day of its last breath, you could see the cruelty of this. You could see the heartaches of this. When you find men with the revelation and men with the Spirit of God that they express about this world and about this life, and they said it's all vanity, it's all vexation of the Spirit. It's here for a moment and it's gone. You understand that? And they're not caught up with the things of temporal life. They compared this life to the flower of the field, to the grass, and all flesh is as grass. And you can talk about the flower of the field that pops up with the beauty of it. I can see the sparkle in my wife's eye when she looks out at the rose bushes that she's planted, pruned or trimmed or whatever, cared for, fertilized, and sees the beautiful rose come off. And I can see the expression, you know, that she has an expression of satisfaction. See, we could talk about that. But brethren, if we talk about the real rose, you understand that? The real lily of the valley. When we talk about the real life, then all of a sudden, does it mean that we don't like the things of this temporal life or the expressions? God commands us. We can't destroy this earthen vessel. If we don't take care of this earthen vessel, if we pump it full of poison, if we pump it full of alcohol, we pump it full of tobacco, we're going to find the wrath and the judgments of God on us, because there's a pattern in the things of God. Do you realize that? And we're going to find the wrath and the judgment because of that. If we destroy this earth, we're going to find the wrath and the judgments of God. But this earth isn't what he was looking for. This is not the expression of the kingdom. It's a mere shadow. This earth will come upright. It'll go through a metamorphosis and be here for a 1,000-year reign, lying laid down by the Lamb. And you think, oh, now we finally know what he was looking for. That's not what he was looking for. That's not it. It's going to go through another change where the heavens and the earth pass away, and it's going to go through that metamorphosis. It'll be a celestial type earth, clear as transparent gold. That's what he's looking for, and that's what he's looking for in you. Oh, we could talk about coming upright in righteousness, walking in authority and anointing of God, in the power of salvation. We could talk about speaking with an authority and power, and we could say, praise God, that's what God was looking for. That's the God that's now. He's looking for that now in you, the fruit of righteousness coming forth, the tree of life. Right now, the expression of eternity and eternal life now. But you see, even with all of that, there's another step right on. When we talk about the one to come. And you say, what are you, Brother Rom? I am the I am. And you say, whoa, wait a minute, that's blasphemous. I just got done telling you it's no longer the man speaking, but it's Christ speaking in him, through him. What is he supposed to say? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Oh, the things that I desire to do, I don't find myself doing them. Say, I like that sermon, Brother Rob. Now you're talking about something I could relate to. Well, let's just all die and go to hell together. You say, well, those words of death that the Apostle Paul was speaking when those expressions in Roman? No, it was a reality of revelation revealing the son of perdition for Christ could live. You see, if we take these things to the flesh, if we take it to the intellect, if we take it to within our means, God gets no glory. Do you understand that? Where's the glory of the Lord? We are. See, we have to learn to get a revelation here and an understanding here. But we can get in the way of it when we take it to ourselves. When we take it to me, we've lost it. If I'm dead in Christ, if I've been crucified with Him, and the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So where's the honor go? Where's the glory go? Where's the praise go? Where's the power go? To Him and Him alone. The Father, Jesus, did the same thing. The greater one was the Father. But you say the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are one and the same. So you say, well, I don't honor you, Brother Rob. I know you in the flesh. I say, you've missed the revelation. Could I disrespect Jesus? Walking in the image of sin? Come on now. What was Jesus when He walked the earth? What image was He? You say, that was the image of God. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this. It said that He came in the image of sin. And it said not to no longer know Him after that. And the image of sin was taken to the cross and crucified and beat all to pieces. And when He resurrected, they didn't even recognize Him. Well, wait a minute. They walked with Him. They walked with Him day and night. They prayed with Him. They saw Him walk on the water. They saw Him do all these great things. And why didn't they recognize Him? Because they didn't resurrect in the same image. Come on now. What image did He come forth in? In the resurrection. Is there a difference between the image of death and the image of resurrection? Is there a difference between the image of carnality or the image of flesh or the image of the serpent? He came in the image of the serpent. You don't believe that? You're talking about God, Brother Rob. I'm talking about God manifesting in the earth today, the God that is, the one that's now. He's still manifesting in the image of a beast. In what you see in the mirror is an image of flesh, an image of the beast, and God's reigning and manifesting and bringing life to them. Amen. In that image. It's still the same. He was the firstborn of many brethren. He is the firstborn of many brethren. So this is what we got to understand. People need salvation today. Who do they need today? They need the Son of God. The sons of God are alive. The Bible said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. The Bible teaches us that. What kind of authority and what kind of power do sons of God have? They got the authority and the power of life. What did Jesus tell them? I could take you over to the last thing He said when He was in the image of the beast, in the image of sin, in the image of man. Now He had no sin. Jesus had no sin. But He came in the image of sin. See, people don't like that. They'll absolutely draw up. But then yet, if that's not the case, then you go back in the Old Testament, look at the allegories, and look at the types, and the shadows. It showed Moses put a serpent on a pole for the healing of the people. And if it wasn't the image of sin, then why did it have to be smitten? And then the Bible talks about we being the sons of God. It said the world does not see you of what you are. Huh? That's what it says. But it said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. But they don't see you of what you are. The world is yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation, the Bible says, of the sons of God. Which world are they talking about? That world out there is not looking for that. Then why does the Bible say that? This worldly part, this fleshly part, is yearning and longing as it ages, as it gets problems in its flesh and ages. It's yearning and longing for the manifestation of the Son of God to change it, to quicken it in the moment, the twinkling of an eye. Okay, so we understand that. But what about right now? Am I waiting on that day? You see, I don't see that because I'm seeing something differently. I'm seeing the I am, the now. What was Jesus doing when He was here? He said right here that the Spirit of the Father, He said, the same Spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus shall dwell in your serpent mortal body. Now, I added a word there, so don't think I'm mad or take it away. But isn't that the truth? He said it will dwell in your mortal body. Now, what part of that mortal body has part of this quickening in life? unless it be changed in that moment in the twinkling of an eye. But I could bring that mortal part upright. The mortal mind, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the mind of death. I could bring it upright into righteousness and transform it and change it now. And think in the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ, the mind of eternity. Now the Bible says some things that are very real, very true. Now, are you going to believe the word or are you going to believe theology? The Bible said, beloved, we know that we pass from death unto life. How many believe that? How many believe that you're more than a conqueror? Okay, now if you believe that you pass from death unto life, that means that you're believing that death is abolished. Okay? But then yet we buried grandma that had that belief. We buried pastor such and such, and we buried evangelist such and such, prophet such and such, apostle such and such. Man, the word's not real, the word's not life. No, that's where you're wrong. Now let me ask you a question here. Talk about the Lord Jesus. When he walked among men, we saw the expression of life, and he was crucified. They saw him put to death. Is this right? They saw him put in the tomb, put in the ground. But then yet something come forth. What was it? It was a resurrection. But then yet, now think about it, when was Jesus the resurrection? Now if you think about this for a moment, Jesus, you say it's the resurrection because he came out of the tomb. But then yet before he went into the tomb and he was walking and Martha came there to meet him when he was out there coming to see Lazarus that was in, he said, I am the resurrection. Is that what he said? He said, I am the resurrection. So I stand before you and say, I am the resurrection. But Brother Rob, you have to pass from death unto life to be the resurrection. I say, yay and amen. You got a revelation. I passed from death unto life. I can't die. Why can't I die? Because I can't sin. Why can't you sin? Because that seed remaineth in me, keeping me from sin. Now, I got a friend down here that'll talk to me, and he'll say, Brother Rob, I can't sin because I'm born of God. And he's got a whore for a girlfriend. He's in immorality, and he's in filth and perversion, and they do things that are ungodly. When you trespass and transgress against the law of the land, then you're sinning, huh? You say, I don't believe that. Well, you need to come to Revelation then. Because let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ said that he meant every jot and tittle of it and fulfilled it, and I'm a son of God, I need to do the same. And you say, well, I knew you were legalistic. Now you're bringing us under the law. The only reason that you want to preach a doctrine that you're not have to fulfill and conquer is because you're walking in the weakness of your flesh with the love of the world. And you want to have some kind of an ideology that you could just live any way you want because you've got an expression and say, you know, this or that. See, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Why? Because he resurrected. And I say that we have the power to speak those things and bring them into an existence. And how am I going to bring the resurrection into an existence for all to see? He said, now, beloved, you are the sons of God. The world doesn't see you, but one day you're going to stand before them just as Jesus does. When they see Jesus appear, guess who they're going to see with him? They're going to see you and me. Huh? You see, there's so many things in the mind of revelation, brethren, that people don't want to believe. They don't want to believe that Brother Rob will be standing there with the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, there's my witness right there. All things are fulfilled. They don't got to believe that Brother Pike is going to stand there, or Brother Branham's going to stand there, or Billy Sunday's going to stand there, or some of these men of God that went on, or Brother Paul or is going to stand there and say, don't you remember that the Father sent me to you? Don't you remember that I said it's no longer me that speak, that this is the Word of God? Don't you remember that I tried to exhort you in the love of God, and you denied it, and you rejected it, and you crucified Jesus Christ afresh? No difference. There's no difference. Zero. You can absolutely crucify Jesus Christ today and trample his blood under feet today, and it's no different than the ones that took him off the cross, or the ones that nailed him on the cross, and the ones that had his blood on their garments and on their hands as they beat him, and done that. It could be even more so real today. You see, you live in a world of natural eyesight and you don't see the blood, or you don't see the blood on people's feet, or you don't see it dripping off their hands, and you say, that's because you're natural. But we got to go to the Word. We got to stay with the Word. He is alive. He's well. He's never left us, never forsaken us. He's here. He's been here all the time. Two or three come together in my name, and he's in the midst. What do you think that's saying, brothers and sisters? What you do to the least of these, my brother, is what you've done unto me. We are the body of Christ. We are the sons of God. We are eternal. We got everything, brother, that pertaineth unto life. But we have problems believing that. And we walk in the mind of carnality and weakness. And we go along with a poor confession and profession. And we just think got the victory. But we are the victory. We are life. We're the expression of life. We're eternal life. I'm looking for eternal life. I said, I found it. I'm here. I've been here all the time. Amen. And you say, brother, you are lifted up in yourself. And I said, the only thing I was lifted up to was the cross of Calvary, to be crucified and no longer live. And now it's not I that live, it's Christ. And He is eternal. He is holy. He is godly. He is living forever and ever. He is abundant life. He is eternal life. You understand that? I got something to be excited about because I can't die. I got something to be excited about because I can't sin. We got to believe this. Why do we keep making these things that we're reaching for them? Why are we always thinking that we're looking for these things? We are these things. Jesus is an example, isn't he? They were looking for the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. You say, well, I'm looking for the resurrection. I say, I am the resurrection. What are you saying, Brother Rob? I'm saying that should be your profession. You should be declaring, I'm a son of God. What is a son of God? It's eternal. It's holy. It's righteous. It's the tree of life. It's the manifestation of the invisible things come to earth and made manifest. You're walking in love. You're swearing to your own hurt and suffering the wrong and doing good to the people that hate you. Come on, brethren. Think about it. This is the reality. This is truth. This is the Word. This is life. We got to receive this. We got to believe this. We got to understand what life is. What's abundant life? What's eternal life? What's spirit life? What's flesh life? What mind are you of? What mind are you in? Are you trying to come into a mind? You see, you transform your mind into the mind of Christ, but when you're born of God, you have that mind. Well, that I got to transform it. That man part does. That man part has got to transform and start believing it. But when he believes it, it becomes something different of an expression of manifestation. Some of you say, I differentiate too much. I got to keep doing it until you come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and quit looking at what you see and start seeing by the mind of Christ and the eyes of the Lord and the eyes of the Spirit. I want to read on just a little bit more. I was at 25. I'm going to read that one more time. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They that hear shall live. I was dead in my trespasses and sin, and the coming of the Lord came to me, and he spoke life to me, and I live. Why do I live? Because it's the quickening spirit of life. You understand that? And the part that's temporal, the part that's seen, that's the lying vanity. You understand that? The part that you look at with your eyes, the part that you touch and feel is the vanity. It's vexation of the spirit. When you project yourself with your brilliance of intellectual mind, with your college degrees, and you project yourself with your money and your riches and your wealth, and you project yourself that way, see, that's the vanity, that's the lie. You've got nothing. You understand that? When God himself that walked among men didn't have a place to lay his head, so did he have nothing? Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. Think about it. And hath given him authority to execute judgment. And you got some carnal-minded preacher says, well, you can't judge. Come on now. We can go into a lot of doctrine there, but we're not going there. Done taught a lot of that. Matter of fact, Pete's put a cover together, a little tract that we wrote called Should. I first entitled it, Can a Christian Judge? Well, anybody could judge. But what kind of judgment are they judging? Are they judging in their self-righteousness? Are they judging out of their intellectual stability and their intellectual brilliance and their mind of retention of scriptures, that's not godly judgment. It said, ye that are spiritual judge all things. Well, I can take you back up here and find out what mind we're of. What is the quickening spirit? What is the quickened mind? Verse 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now, he's used the Son of Man there instead of the Son of God. Come on now. Oh my. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming. Now listen to that. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now he said that one's coming, right? What hour is? We back up here just a little bit and we saw the hour is coming and now is. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Now, the thing is he said that now is. And then down here it's talking about the hour that is coming. Now are you differentiating between these two? You've got to be able to differentiate between 25 and 28. And you say, well, there is no differentiation. I'm sorry, there is. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. The hour that's coming is for them that are in the grave, brothers and sisters. But the hour that is are we that are alive and remain and are walking in the Spirit, that are not no longer dead in our trespasses and sin, because we are the quickening Spirit, and that hour now is. Amen. You understand that? Oh my. Help them, Jesus. Help me. Brother Pike asked a question. Brother Pete was talking about this a while back. He said, y'all really believe you're gods? And he looked at his brethren, said under a mighty man of God, a powerful man of God. He said, y'all really believe that you're gods? And he said, nah, you really don't. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. I wonder what the Calvinist is going to do with that. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So we're going to have two resurrections, is that right? And I stay in trouble for differentiating. I can of my own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I got to expound on that for a minute. I'm not going to try to keep you long, but I can't go by that. You know, we are under a doctrine here that we know that the Bible said, ye that are spiritual, judge all things. And we teach that. I say, mothers, fathers, you better be judging that little boy that comes over to date your daughter. You better be judging. You better be judging who you're fellowshipping, who you're walking with. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You better be making judgments every day. You need to be judging. The Bible said, try the Spirit and see if it be of God. You're making a judgment of every spirit, every thought that comes to you. You got to judge every thought. You got to judge every vain imagination. You got to judge every brother, every preacher, and you got to do it in the mind of Christ, not in your own intellect, not in your own theology. Verse 30 again says, I can of mine own self do nothing. So you can't even judge in yourself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will. Let me tell you how most people judge things. It didn't fit their little program. It didn't fit their little agenda. It didn't fit their little desires. It didn't fit what they wanted. So they're going to judge you as wrong. They're going to judge you as you miss the Lord. And they're going to judge you as carnal. And they're going to judge you as lost. But he was not. His judgment was good and righteous and godly, because he wasn't seeking his own. Come on now. I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Now there's your differentiation between the Son of Man and the Son of God. Right there. You got to take and see the differentiation, because there was a mind that was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was sweating blood and crying out. But he said, nevertheless, let your will be done. He found the will of the Father. The will of the Son of Man was saying, you want me to go be beaten? You want me to go be crucified? You want me to go through all of this? But he said, nevertheless, your will. So he submitted that mind to the other. He submitted it to the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of the Father. Now we've got to differentiate. I'm going to read verse 30 again. It says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Do you want just judgment, righteous judgment? We got one that's justified, one that's sanctified, one that's glorified. And that judgment that is just is through that mind of justification. You understand that? You can't separate them. Because I seek not my own will. When you're seeking after what you want, you desire, your business, your finances, your money, your judgment ain't worth a count. But when you're seeking after something of others, your judgment is righteous. And then you can judge all things because you're spiritual. Because you seek not your own, but you seek after the well-being of others. But the will of the Father which has sent me. Verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Boy, if we could come to that revelation right there, we could go somewhere. But we're always defending ourselves and we're not defending the Word. We say, I'm defending the Word of God. I'm defending what's right. No, you're defending your pride. And you're proud. And you think too much of yourself when you should lay your life down at the foot of the cross and say, God, have mercy on me. Kill my mind. Kill my thoughts. Kill my desires out. But we want to have a resurrection of our fleshly, carnal self. Help us, Jesus. Verse 32 says, there is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. And there's a spirit of truth that's going across here tonight. And you could find fault with me. You could analyze me. I told a man the other day, I said, okay, you have a problem with me because you know me after the flesh. I said, well, let me know what I've done in my flesh that is so wrong. You see, that's a lie that people have taken and twisted the scriptures and the word. Jesus did not offend nobody when he walked as a man on this earth. He abided the laws of the land. He submitted and he worked with them all. And he overcome them and fulfilled them. And people say, well, I just know Brother Rob after the flesh. That's why I got a problem. I said, what have I done but give and help and love and suffer? And then they feel like they got righteous judgment. And it ain't of God. Brothers and sisters, I'm just trying to help people come to life. I'm nothing. I'm the least of y'all. But I'm trying to teach you the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ. And if you can't love me as a man that you do see, you'll never love God that you cannot see. Because he's manifesting in you and me. Come on, brethren. We've got to get into the righteous mind of judgment, the righteous mind of Christ, the righteous mind of revelation. Let me tell you something. You cannot hide the tree of life. Amen. You cannot hide the truth of righteousness. It manifests in the tree of life. We saw it. And if we are one with the tree of life, then there's going to be fruit on that tree. The fruit of love. The fruit of appreciation. The proof of helping others and considering others and doing for others. And when we walk around in our selfishness and our ignorance and of our own ideology and we walk around in self-righteousness and thinking we're better and greater than everybody, we have never seen God. We have never expressed God. And we have never become one with eternal life. God was a righteous man, a holy man, a godly man. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to walk in the expression of life, eternal, life abundant, life holy. Verse 32 again says, there is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that witness, which it witnesseth of me, is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. Praise God. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. This is good. I love the word. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me, and the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. That's awesome, ain't it? And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Isn't it awesome? This is what you should be saying. What he's saying right here. You go over and read in your Bible, some of you got it worse in red. Well, this is what the Lord said. This is what you say. These Scriptures are testifying of the life eternal that is in me, that I'm one with, that I'm walking in and fellowshipping. You understand that? You say, I'm seeking eternal life. And I say, I found it. Hallelujah. That's why in one of the Scriptures he said, follow me. He didn't say, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, follow me, because he knew he was one with Christ. And you say, do you believe that, Brother Rob? Amen. Well, if I don't believe that, I'm going to have to throw a lot of Bible away. I'm not going to say the Baptists, no. But I mean, they believe that we're the body of Christ. So what is the body of Christ, brethren? What is the body of Christ? I mean, this is my body. You can understand that. Hey, this is mine. And you say, Brother Rob, cut that hand off. Let me borrow it. No, it's mine. He ain't cut nothing off. But I'm the body of Christ. Amen. What does that mean? It means that I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We got Bible for that. We talk about it all the time. So if you crucify me, who'd you crucify? Okay. That's not hard revelation. If I crucify you, what I do to the least of these, my brethren, I do unto you. I do it unto the Lord. The Bible said they're sick and afflicted among you. Why? Because they don't know how to discern this body. That's what it said, because they don't know how to discern the body of the Lord. We're the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. I can't do you wrong. If I do you wrong, I've done it unto him. But I was in prison, you visited me not. I was in the hospital, you visited me not. Oh, Lord, when was you? What you done to the least? I'm the least. You're looking way down to the bottom of the pile here. I'm the least. But if you do that unto me, you've done it unto him. And you're the greatest. And if I do it unto you, then I've done it unto him. Do you realize that? What is the least? But you've got your measuring rod and you weigh me out. Oh, but Brother Ryan, I'm done this. Oh, but Brother George done this. Oh, but Brother Billy Sunday done that. Oh, but the Apostle Paul done that. Well, I just said I'm the least. I'm trying to teach you the mind of revelation and judgment. I'm not Billy Sunday, but I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm glad I'm excited about this. It says, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. Now he brought it down to a thing. If you can't come to him, you couldn't have life. And is he alive today? Amen. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? What is it? Is it head knowledge? No, it's the revealing of Christ. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I realize that Christ is in the many-membered body. Christ is in you. It's the hope to this world. It's the hope to the drug addict. It's the hope to the drunk. It's the hope to them that are lost. Because we are the light of the world. Light eradicates darkness. Light brings forth life. We are the tree of life. I don't understand what the tree of life is. That's what I'm talking about. Didn't it say right there in Bismigo? We just read it. We'd have to go back over to Proverbs. I love the Word of God. I wished I had a better intellectual capabilities to express the beauty of this Word, but it's living in me and it's moving in me. It's kicking in me. You know, that little mama might be expecting a baby, but she feels something alive in there, something kicking, and she could see it moving and kicking. She might not be able to express to you about the blood seed and the ovaries and the cycle and how that thing entered in and how it started dividing those little cells and they started dividing and how that life started coming. She might not be able to explain that, but she knows there's something moving in her and it's life, amen. And I got something in me that's eternal, something that can't die, something that can't sin, something that's alive forever and ever. Amen. Come on, brethren. Amen. It's life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody might express it better than I can, but I can feel it moving. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's real. It's real. Praise God. Amen. 41 says, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name. Who said that? Now, did Jesus just say that? He said, I come in my Father's name. What was the name of the Father? Somebody tell me. Okay. Boy, how can we make things so complicated sometimes? That's kind of simple, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I've come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Come on now, think about it. I'd like to give you a chance to ponder on the word, because you're probably not going to go home and go back and read it and examine it and eat it and chew of it. You got to eat of this. You got to drink of this. If you don't drink his blood and eat his flesh, you have no part with him. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Oh, what's he talking about there? Huh? Come on now. And we know Moses was God to the people. He shined so bright they had to put a veil over him when he came down on the mountain. How many of you fasted 80 days and 80 nights? Come on now. But then what did he say? And there was a purpose. Jesus had to do the same thing. You see, you got to find out where the law is at and why. Came from God, didn't it? I mean, now if you go back over there and you read, you got to agree that it was a supernatural act that came down with a finger. They burned it or engraved it into the stone tablets. They didn't have big engravers there, did they? Come on now. There's a lot that could be said there. But let me tell you something. The people that are going to be put into eternal damnation, it's because ministers like me brought them to the knowledge of the word. Sin can't be imputed unless there's a knowledge of it. Where did that knowledge come from? I could say some things there. I told you when I got my eyes open to some revelation, it scared me. And I thought, I don't want to undo this. I shared this with you. I said, the Lord spoke to me and said that the words that I speak will put more people into hell than it will put people into eternal life. Well, I ain't speaking nothing no more. But then yet I could pick up the Bible and hold it up to you. And I could say, this Bible puts more people into hell than it puts people into life. Now, come on now. That's the truth. The letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit bringeth life. There's not going to be no person in hell unless they have an understanding that they defied that word. And the only understanding of that word is laid within the word. So you got to bring forth the understanding of the word. And one is going to take it as life, and the other one's going to reject it to damnation. There's going to be two resurrections. We just read about it here. So which one are you? Make your calling and your election sure, the Bible says. So the thing is, it's a wide, broad path to destruction, and it's a straight and narrow way. A straight gate, narrow way. Few be there that find it. Amen. And how did they find it? In the Word. How did the ones find their way into damnation? In the Word. The power of life and the power of death. Which one are you going to receive today? I am life. I got life abundant. I got life eternal. I got life holy. Amen? Amen. Which one are you going to receive today? If you can't see me receive it, you can't receive it. Amen. If I can't see you receive it, I can't receive it. You remember the message a few weeks ago? You don't know who you are because you don't know who I am. And I don't know who I am because I don't know who you are. And if I can't see that you are the sons of God, I'll never know the sons of God. And never see them. Because I pass from death unto life because I know you. Amen. And because I love you. Amen. That's not complicated. Just bringing it right down to just some old simple gospel preaching. It's not complicated. It's easy. Amen. You just gotta be birthed into it. Amen. It wasn't a struggle. Oh, but Brother Rob, you taught us about the travail. Until Christ be formed in you, and you taught us all these things. I say, yeah, well, I'm over here on the other side of that now. I might be travailing for you. Well, you guys can bring me back down in that garden patch, man. I got to start pulling some weeds out. I'm going to say, pull your sleeves down and gird up your loins. Amen. Let me read 44 again. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You want the honor that Jesus had? Come on now. We saw him being honored, didn't we? Amen. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So now we're talking about the letter of the law that killeth and the spirit that bringeth life. You say, well, I believe Brother George, Brother Rob, but I don't believe you. You never heard a thing Brother George Pike said. I believe in Brother Branham. I believe that he was the great prominent in our day and hour. And I said, if I can't believe that Brother Ed is walking in the same anointing and the same spirit of the same God, then I can never believe anything that that great prophet said. And you say, I don't see it that way. I know, but you better learn. Because Jesus esteemed them all better than himself, every single one of them. And he said, I'm the least. And you've got to come to a revelation that you're the least. And when you realize that you are the least and that you are way down there, when you look at everybody, you're looking up and you're saying, I love you, brethren. You're the reason I come to this earth, to walk on this earth, that I could give my life, that you could have life and more abundantly. Amen. But if you can't love them enough to lay your life down for them, you have never expressed or seen the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know when my pastor first saw me come, he thought, oh my, here we go again. He had to die that I could live. It had been easy for him to say, you know what, you're a thorn in my flesh, just depart. I've done been through all this nursery school stuff. I don't want to get your wife out of her pants and put her in a dress. But he loved us enough that he laid his life down that we could have life. Are you willing? Are you willing? When you make you better than everybody, you can't help nobody. But when you make them greater than you, you've helped them all. It's just love. Expression of life. Jesus loved you. He loved you so much that he gave us everything for you. That you can have life. Do you understand that? That you could have life. You see, there's so many things that could be said here. There's so many expressions that could be said. I could take you in some of Paul's writings. I could take you over, we've quoted some of them tonight. I could take you over in the book of Romans into the doo-doo chapter. You say, I don't like doo-doo. Well, he found that the things he wanted to do, he did not do those things. Things that he didn't want to do, he found himself doing. So we could understand that. Was he expressing weakness? He was expressing reality. He was expressing from a man. And then we find him expressing that he no longer lived. And now it was Christ that lived. You see? So which one are you going to go with? You have to come to the revelation of both of them. You see, the Bible speaks about the revealing of Jesus Christ that cannot come. Lest first it said, that the son of perdition is revealed. So you see, if we're going to talk about the God that's coming, you're going to be talking about an Antichrist over here during the 7 years of tribulation, and he's going to make himself manifest, and he's going to come into the temple of God, making himself to be God, an abomination of desolation, and he's going to be seen and exposed, and Christ is going to be revealed and overpower and take him and set up an earthly reign on this earth for 1,000 years. I say, yay and amen. You got the revelation of the God that was, or the one that's coming, I mean. But let's talk about the God that is. The judgment of God that is. Judgment begins in the house of God. Where's that going to begin at then? Right here, this is the house of God. Judgment's going to begin here. While you're looking for judgment over there, it's happening tonight. It's here today. It's here now. While you're looking for life, life is expressing itself. While you're looking for resurrection, the resurrection has come and made himself known. And we are the children of the resurrection. We're the children of light, the light into the world. Amen. But you know, you want to talk about coming and coming and coming. And was, and was, and was. And I'm saying he is, he is, he is. Amen. If you cannot believe that he is, you don't know the one that was. And if you don't know the one that is, you shall never see the one to come except for judgment. It's that simple. He said it here. Jesus went on to express, over, I could take you over into another one of the Gospels. Matter of fact, right here in the same one, go five chapters forward. He said, I'm in you and you in me. I'm in the Father and the Father's within me, and I'm in you and you in me. Separate that, brother. Nothing could pluck me out of his hand. Why? Because I'm not in his hand. I'm in him and he's in me. We become one. My predestination isn't in my intellectual mind. My predestination isn't because I'm in the right church. My predestination isn't in quotes of this Bible. My predestination is in him. Amen. Go read about predestination. Look it up and look it up everywhere. And it's all in him. In him. In him. Not in you. Not in you. Not in I. Not in I. In him. That's why we're one with him. Because he's in us and I'm in him. Where's he at? He's in heaven. Where are you at? I'm in heaven. What are you doing in heaven? Because I passed from death unto life. Death is down here. There's no death over there. You understand that? I'm life. Life abundantly. Life eternal. Life holy. Life righteous. Life godly. Why? Because I'm in heaven. I'm in him and with him and through him. He made me without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. That's why I'm pure. That's why I'm clean. That's why I'm godly. That's why I'm holy. Because he did it. I didn't do it. He done it. He done it for me. He loved me so much. He took away every spot, every blemish, every wrinkle. He took it away. Praise God, I'm his. He done it. I didn't do it. I didn't earn this. I didn't climb up another way through an intellectual comprehension that I could quote his word and say everything right. I didn't do this by being polished. I didn't do this by walking a certain way before you. I've done this because he gave me the spirit of life. Amen. And it's life eternal and abundant. He gave it to me. You don't like it, take it up with him. And you better hope you can find it too. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Where's eternal life at? Let's get out of the religious games. I deal with preachers. They all say the same thing. They get together and assure each other that they're right. And they need to come to the revelation of life. They need to come to the abundance of eternal life. They need to come to the expression of the Spirit. These things that I'm talking about tonight, turn them off. They turn off their computers that are watching us when they hear these things. He's nothing but a mere man making himself to be God. And they'll crucify me just like they tried to do or did to Jesus. He said they hated him first, they're going to hate you also. The doctrine I'm preaching tonight makes people hate you. Because that's the revelation. That's the prophetic word. They hated him, they're going to hate you. This is the stuff that makes your mothers and your fathers and your sons and your daughters hate you. This makes you get rented in the house of your friends. You see, you can't say that. You're just a man. That man was crucified and no longer lives. That man was put in the sea of forgetfulness because it was shaped in iniquity and in sin. God took away that. And you want to find fault with him for taking it away? He took it and buried it. He hid it away. It's done. It's finished. It's over. It's gone. I passed from that death. I passed from that temporal life. I am now a quickening spirit. I am now eternal. I am now living forever. I am now in heaven. That's what he said. Why? Because I'm in him. And where he is, he said, I'll be there. Why? Because he said it. This is him. It's his word. It's his life. It's his works. It's his labors. You understand that? Well, you're boasting. I'm not boasting. I'm boasting in him if I'm boasting. I'm boasting in his finished works. I'm boasting in his resurrection. I'm boasting in his life. Let's give him another hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. I got one thing to say and last thing I'm going to say here. And we're going to close. Now listen to this. Verse 47. Is it up there, Brother Chuck? I want you to listen to this and read it. But's a big word. But, if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Think about that for a moment. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So let me tell you something. I'm going to unveil that for you. If you don't believe what I'm saying tonight, thus saith the Lord. I'm prophesying now. And if I prophesy presumptuously or in error, then I'm in danger of being put into eternal lake of fire. If you cannot believe the words that I'm saying here tonight, you cannot believe His word. Are you listening to me? Because let me tell you, the words that I'm speaking here tonight are not my words. They're His words. He said that we have passed from death unto life. He said that we're hid away, we're sealed in, we're eternal, we cannot die. Amen? That we judge all things because we're spiritual, because we're eternal, because we're living. Come on now. Amen. This is the Word. I'm just telling what the Word says. I'm more than a conqueror. What do you mean more than a conqueror? That means that death, hell, and the grave has been conquered, and I can't die. You understand that? I can't die. Why can't you die? Because I already did. And now I'm on the other side of death. I'm in life. That's the Word. So I preach the Word, and you hate me for it. I preach the Word and you despise me for it. I preach the Word and then that's what they've done to Him. Why? Because we're one and the same. Well, you're making yourself to be God. That's what He said. He said, you're gods, but, another big but, you're gods, but you die like men. Why do you die like men? Because you don't understand what this man is saying here. Have you passed from death unto life?
Amen.
Well, how come you passed from death unto life? Because you love the brethren. Amen. Why do you love the brethren? Because you know that they're the body of Christ. Amen. You say, well, I can't see Christ in him. If you can't see Christ in him, he couldn't see Christ in you. Come on now. Amen. He had to see something in me when he pulled me out of the mud. When he pulled me out of the mire.
Praise.
He had to see something there.
Hallelujah.
He could have said, oh, there's a stench. Look at that. But he so laid his own life down that I could live. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to lay your life down for your brother? Come on now. We have to do that. Let's stand together, amen. Let's worship the Lord, saints of God. Amen. We got something to worship about. My pastor was preaching these things 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And let me tell you something. One of his own family members heard me preaching these things and he got up and walked out. And I said, brother, what's your problem? I said, am I preaching anything your granddad didn't preach? He said, he could do that, but you couldn't. You know why he said that? Because he never saw the expression of life. He never saw the resurrection from the dead. He never saw the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope in you. Amen. He never saw it. Or he would have sat there with both hands lifted towards heaven and said, yea and amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that God did not die when his grandfather took his last breath. Amen. I thank God that the spirit of life that walked in that brother George Leon Pike or walked in any man of God that you ever heard of. If you want to go to your Wigglesworth or if you want to go over to your Sundays or if you want to go over to wherever it is, it doesn't matter. The same life that walked and expressed itself right here in these scriptures and in these words is alive and well and still on the throne, amen, and still supping with him and him with us, and we're still about the Father's business, and he's still seeking them that are lost, still looking for them that don't have the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord. He's still looking for them, for we could look at them and say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Find that mind. That mind has the expression of love. That mind has the expression of power. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord, saints. Come on, worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
How
you got something to praise him about tonight.
Is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God.
There's some people looking for this on the other side, but it's now. They're looking for God out there in the sky somewhere, but he's here, amen. He's been here all the time, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
How great is our God.
We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I feel the life. I feel eternal life moving and flowing in me tonight. Hallelujah. Can you find that life in you? Hallelujah. Can you feel the quickening of that spirit? Is it moving down in your being? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
He's the name above all names.
We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
He is worthy.
Praise you, Lord God. Can you feel the authority of the power of the spoken word? Can you feel the power and the authority to speak to death and to speak to sickness and to speak to carnality and say, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ?
How great is our God? Sing me.
The altars are open tonight. Hallelujah. God's here for you tonight. He's here to help you, to strengthen you, to anoint you, to fill you, to heal you, to deliver you. Hallelujah. He's here. The light that dropped the shackles off Peter when he was bound in that prison, that light is here. He is the light of the world. Amen. We are in him and through him. And the light is here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It eradicates death. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praising saints. Worshiping. He's your God. He's your Lord. He's your King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let him talk to you. Let him touch you. Let him fill you. Let him heal you. Let him deliver you. Let him give you everything that pertaineth to life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
Is our God.
We love you, Jesus.
Worshiping saints. How great. How great is our God. For he's the name above all names.
We worship you, Lord. You are Lord.
He is worthy of all praise.
You are strength. You are power. You are God.
And my
heart will sing. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I feel resurrection power. Hallelujah. I feel the power to raise the dead. Hallelujah. To life. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God. He is worthy of all praise. And my
we love you,
heart
Jesus.
Will see how great is our God.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you,
how
Jesus.
How great is our God. Sing me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands.
Worship the Lord, saints.
Time
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Is in his hands, beginning and
Thank
the
you,
end.
Jesus.
Beginning and the
Worship
end.
Worship the Lord, saints. Hallelujah.
The God
Worship him, saints.
Three
Thank
one.
You, Lord Jesus. How many believe in miracles here tonight?
Father,
Thank you,
Spirit,
Jesus.
Son, the lion
how many of you know
lamb,
that there's a little sister that's got cancer down in Georgia that's got five little babies. One of her babies that she just delivered that's 3 months old has cancer in the body also because mama was eat up with cancer. How many of you believe in miracles tonight? Come on, saints of God. How many of you believe in miracles? Amen. Hallelujah. Stephanie came in the altars to stand in for that sister. Is that right?
Is our God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sing me
Thank you, Lord
great.
God. How many believe the Word of God?
God.
How many believe that the Word of God was and the Word of God is to come? But how many believe that the Word of God is? If you believe the Word of God is, I want you to come get some of this anointing oil right here. Some of you brethren, some of you elders. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together. Come on, as the brethren keep on singing. If you feel led to get off the instrument and come and help anoint, That's okay. Come on, saints. I want to feel your faith. Amen. This little girl's got a death sentence.
He's the name above all names.
The doctors don't think that this mama's going to get to raise them little children.
He is worthy of
they don't
all
think that them little
praise.
Children are going to have a mama. They don't think that little baby's ever going to have the chance for a mama to raise her. How many believe in faith tonight? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Come on, let's pray together. Let's worship the Lord. Come on, saints, let's worship the Lord as we call on His name tonight. We love you, Lord Jesus. You are our healer. You are the children's bread. You are the lily of the valley. You are the strength. You are life. You are abundant. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Father God, as I anoint this, my daughter, she stands proxy for this sister Martha right now. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. You're a liar and the father of all lies. I say that Martha shall live in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oria Sandra Satala Makotoriasi. Yande le Makisha Tediamakosi. Father, we love you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord God. We praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, mighty God, I thank you, Father God, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. I thank you. There's no distance in the Spirit, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that we could speak by the power of the resurrection and the power of life, Lord God, and we could speak life. Then I say that cancer's a lie. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I speak healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, Father God, take that away in the name of Jesus. Let it be gone. We're calling forth for a manifestation of health and strength and life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Yakira Masindriasi. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for the spirit of life that dwells within the sister. And we're calling to bring life to that temporal part and the longevity into that flesh. Lord God, let her husband come to the place that you'd have him to be. Use this almighty God to bring forth resurrection life, eternal in others, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Let's continue to pray. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worship him, saints. Thank you, Lord God. Is there any need that's too big for him? Is there any need too small? I've seen people that think, well, I see people with much greater needs than I got. I don't feel like I need to even bombard the throne of God with my slight problems. And I say, I know where you're coming from. I feel the same way. But let me tell you something. He's got time for you. When he took time to count those hairs on your head, he took time to see that little problem that you thought you had. He took time when he was there strapped around that pole and they was beating him with the cat of nine tails. He was thinking about those little problems, them little complications, those little foxes that spoil the vine. Amen. Hallelujah. He was looking down and seeing those things. Amen. Hallelujah. God loves you. He's with you. He's in you. He's through you. Amen. Come on, saints of God. Bringing this message forward tonight wasn't easy. There was some of you tried. Some of you really made an attempt. Some of you want everybody to know that you are everything I expressed, and that's okay. Keep believing that way, but bring it to fruition. Bring it to manifestation. Because there's going to be one day. Sometimes, you know, we find great strength in the mirror. When we look at a mirror, as I've expressed to you, you could take the mirror outside in the noonday and you could stand over in the shadows where you couldn't even see the real sun, but I could hold that mirror standing out in the sun, and I could point it right to you and burn the eyeballs out of your head and make you blind. That's how much it could deceive the very elect if it were possible. You understand what I'm saying? You could even feel the warmth and the heat coming off of that mirror. But let me tell you something about that mirror. Once that sun sets, that reflector has no strength, has no power, and can do nothing. You understand what I'm saying? So the thing is, let's get away from the reflection and be the projection of the Christ. Okay? Nothing wrong with reflecting the things of God. Jesus came in the reflection realm, the moon realm, to reflect everything back to the Father and the light. But then yet he sent it to us, and now it dwells within us and it projects light. There's a difference when it's in you than as Brother Jonathan brought out in the message a couple nights ago. There's a difference of being in you than it's different of being upon you. The reflector it may be upon. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. Amen. Comes on. But it's in the just. It's in the just because we are the righteousness of God. Amen. It's not filthy rags, brothers and sisters. It's the righteousness of God. It's the tree of life. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you got life? Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand if you got life. Thank you, Lord God, for life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I know that the spirit of healing departed my body, not to the fullness I'd like to see it. There's a hindrance for Sister Martha. And I'm believing life. I'm seeing something took place. I felt a very powerful anointing go forth. It's nothing to do with Stephanie. Amen. I would have never went over if I thought she was the hindrance. I would have never laid hands on her. You understand that? So what I'm trying to say is that we've got a list back there. And it's got places I'd like to see more than one name for each day. But I want to see 24-hour fasting taking place for this little girl, for her life, for her healing, for those little children. You understand that? That need a mama. The thing is that I want two or three names on every day, because some of you will get weak during the day and you're going to justify you're eating, or you're going to justify the things you're going to do. I'm asking you to fast. Now, I know a complete fast is no water and no food. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to do that. If some of you want to do that, you can. God will help you. I've done it numerous times. Today I fasted, but I drank some coffee. You say, well, that's not a fast then, Brother Rob. Well, while you ate and you've done your thing and done what you do, you find fault with me. That's okay. But I'm saying, if you want to drink your coffee in the morning, or if you drink your soft drink, you know, that's fine. But don't go juicing and stuff. You can go 360 days juicing and not eat nothing, and you can say you're fasting. That's not really a fast. I fasted for many days with just water. I've done it with coffee and water. It still breaks you down. But make an effort. But don't just fast, pray. Don't go put your name back under because you feel like that's what I'm asking you to do. I want you to prayerfully consider and make a vow unto the Lord that that's what you're going to do. And I'm going to know that there's people, Terry, having this girl in thought and mind. If two or three of you tomorrow are going without food, I know that she's going to be on your mind, because that old stomach's going to be talking to you. Right. Saying, I want a hamburger. I want something to eat. And you're going to think, oh, I'm doing this for her. So I know that she's going to be on your mind.
Amen.
And that little baby's going to be on your mind. And you can say, Lord Jesus, please touch, deliver, heal.
Amen.
Bring it to fruition. Bring it to manifestation. Bring it to the forefront. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. The little sister's already passed from death unto life. So what are we talking about? I'm talking about longevity of this temporal life for her children's sake.
Amen.
And you say, well, there needs to be a testimony of Christ. She's already astounded all the doctors, and with her strength and her testimony of Christ and life, she's not afraid to step out of this world. She's not fearing death. To her, it would be gain, as Paul said. You know, to die is gain. Talking in your expressions, this girl's already passed from death unto life. I'm not fasting for her salvation. I'm not doing that. I'm asking the Lord to add longevity to her day. Amen. You see, brethren, you guys, we get so caught up in a Pentecostal world of wanting these manifestations of physical healings. I love them too. But let me tell you something. There's people that get physical healings that go to hell. They get their blinded eyes open and they walk in darkness and go to hell. There's something greater than longevity of this natural world. There's something much greater, and it's the eternal life. There's people that we pray for that are sick, and we pray that in the sickness and the suffering of the sin, or in the suffering in the flesh, they cease from sin, as the Bible says. This is fine. I'm not talking about her soul. I'm talking about longevity for the children's sake. What if she goes on to be with the Lord? We rejoice and we have a great time in the Lord, rejoicing and praising God. Amen. And we're going to be taking our attention, our prayers to a single daddy, a widow, amen, father, and children. You say, well, where's your faith? Brothers and sisters, listen, I've got faith. And I'm speaking about the expression of life. So we come to the revelation. Oh boy, praise God, Brother Rob. She's living. She got healed. And this and that. But what if we get a report 10 years from now if the Lord tarried and she's in the world and goes to hell? What have we done? Come on now. Let your will be done, Lord. What's His will? His will is eternal life. So one preacher says, well, you know, I've seen the Holy Ghost go on him. I'm worried about what he's going to do tomorrow. I'm going to kill him now. We got the 45-millimeter church. I seen the Spirit of God go in and poof, now we don't have to worry about Him no more. We just got Him. Don't get no ideas, boy. Oh, boy. I say crazy things. I know it. Hey, man, he smiled, man. God answers prayers. He's given you the desires of your heart. Here's a guy that come to church crying around, man, wanting a baby, man, questioning God. Come on, Lord God, this and that. Brings him a baby, and he's sitting back there, don't frown on his life. Maybe we ought to get him up in these altars, lay hands on him. Huh? I think I'd be excited. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you for opening up a womb that was lame, that wouldn't work, and bring forth life. Amen. You better than that. Let's sing another song or two, and we'll close the service here in a moment.
And oh,
faithful to Sister Bertha, come out to fellowship
how
with us.
I love Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God. Receive the Word. Be the Word. Let the Word be in you, and you be in the Word. Walk in the Word. Be the expression of the Word. Be the expression of life. Amen.
How I love.
You feel like the Word's in you? Amen. That little mama might say, I think I'm expecting. I'm going to go to the doctor and find out. That's okay. But if you just hang out for a little while, you'll find it a kicking and a moving. Amen. And you'll know. Amen. And if you have troubles believing it then, wait a little bit longer. You'll know. Amen. When He's waking you up every night about 2 o'clock in the morning. Yep, there it is. Amen. Hallelujah.
Because He first loved me.
Thank you, Jesus. Y'all love the Lord?
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is ChristianTempleOnline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to ChristianTempleOnline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.